Well, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. I want you to turn with me. I feel like I have a word for the church this morning. And I want you to turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse number 6. Zechariah chapter 4. Begin reading in verse number 6. And I want to read down through verse 10. Then he answered and said unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace! Grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, with those seven that are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Very interesting passage of scripture today that I want just really got into my heart and into my spirit. Because it follows, if you'll remember, that Nehemiah had been called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem earlier. And now the Lord is calling Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. Well, it's always harder to rebuild something than it is to build something. Because there's a lot more involved when you have to redo what's already been done. It's a lot harder than it is to do it in the first place. Zerubbabel is the governor of Jerusalem. And it seemed like an impossible task for him to even thinking about rebuilding the temple. But the Lord had spoken to his heart and told him that he was to rebuild the temple. And so here he is getting ready to go about this work to rebuild the temple of God. Now folks, that represents a place of worship, a place of praise. You can have all kinds of things in your life. You can have walls of security. I'm talking about walls of financial blessing. You can have walls of friends. You can have walls of influences in a lot of ways. But unless you have a place of worship, unless you have a place where you can get intimate with God, then you are missing out on the most important part of your existence. And Zerubbabel knew this. He knew that even though the walls had been secured, and now the renegade troops that were outside the city could not get into the city, the people had been walled in, but there was not a place to worship. So he knew the job was not complete. Listen to me. You can have everything that money can buy. You can have the finest home and ride in the finest automobiles. You can have a big portfolio with the stock market. You can have all the money that could possibly be given to someone. But until you have the peace of God that passes understanding in your heart and in your life, you'll never be satisfied and you'll never be able to truly enjoy life. Sometimes in the midst of life, we just have to learn how to stir up the Spirit of God that is inside of us. Because it's like anything else. If you don't use it, you lose it. It's like any other part of your life. If you don't keep on getting sharpened by other people who are sharp, you will get to the place that you are not challenged anymore and you lose that desire to better yourself. I have a sermon entitled, We Get What We Settle For. And that is so true, because so many people could be enjoying so many other things in life than what they are enjoying because they decided years ago that they were going to settle for a lot less than what they should have settled for. Many of you in here, you had an opportunity maybe to go to college and to better yourself and to go further in your own professional career, but you decided not to do that. How many times have you looked back over your life now through the past years and wish you had just stepped out a little bit more and done a little bit more and put yourself out there a little bit more, how much more you could have been successful? I'm telling you, serving God is the same way. You can get satisfied to sit on the pew and let the preacher tell you everything you need to know. You can get satisfied to listen to the preachers on television who will share with you what they want to share with you, and you never seek God for yourself. But until you get a place of worship, until you find that secret place, until you get that place of intimacy with God, you will never grow in your real walk with God. One of my cousins back in the neighborhood that I grew up in, he had a relationship with God that he would go out in the woods. He would disappear for 2 or 3 hours every day. And we would go out in the woods out behind his house, and he'd be gone 2 or 3 hours, and then you'd see him coming back in just before nightfall. And somebody asked him, they was out with him one day, and they decided they were walking through the woods out behind his house. And they came across this wallowed out place in the ground. There was no grass, no weeds there. It was just bare dirt there. And it looked like a place maybe where a big animal had been lying down. And they asked him, said, Uncle Bub, said, what in the world is that? Said, that looks like a bear's bed. Uncle Bob looked at him and said, look, not for days, not for weeks, not for months, but for years. I have met God there every day, all those years. And he was a man of power and a man of prayer. So many of us today, we want the power, but we don't want the price that goes with it. We want to be able to move and operate in the miraculous move of the Holy Spirit, but we don't want the place wallowed out in the ground where we had to pray and seek God and get things right with the Lord. I promise you, there are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the putting on, he said, of my hands. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel and said, I want you to rebuild my temple, Zerubbabel was faced with fear. I mean, have you ever looked at a task that is so daunting that you just don't feel like you're capable of getting it done? The task is much bigger than you are. And it's in those moments that you realize your dependency on God. You realize you can't depend on your talent. You can't depend on your ability. It will only take you a little place. But I'm telling you, it is the presence and the power of God. God said, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And if success is to come, it will not come by my talent or my ability. It will not come through your talent or your ability. Success will come by the spirit of the living God. So when Zerubbabel was all fearful and upset, and he didn't know what to do, he was so frightened, and so often Satan will frighten us today, and we'll feel like, I'm just not qualified to do this. I'm just not equipped to do this. I believe that God is calling on us to step out of the boat and try walking on the water. We have simply accepted the fact that it defies gravity for us to walk on water, so we've never really tried. I believe God is calling some of us to get out of the boat and walk on the water, because He has been the one doing the calling. And if we will be obedient to Him, that water won't make any difference. You can walk right across the top of it because you're following the word of the Lord. And this is what God said. Look at it again. Verse 6. Verse 6, and He answered and spake unto me. This is what the angel of the Lord told him. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I want you to know the job can be done. If it could not be done, I would not have called you to do it. But it can be done. But it won't be done through your power and your ability and your talent. That's where real talented people get in trouble. Because they get the tendency to depend on the talent more than they depend on God. And when you take God out of the equation, you are set up for failure. Just as sure as you live, if you're just going to depend on the fact that you're just good, and you know you're good, and that's all that it ever amounts to is you know you're good, all right, man, I can do it. But when we do that, see, God is taken out, and then it becomes a man thing and not a God thing. I'm telling you, there's an army that God is raising up. And this army will be called by God, will be anointed by the Holy Ghost, and will be something of great anointing and power. And we're going to see things done we never thought could be done. But the Bible said that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Get rid of the fearfulness. There is power in the name of Jesus. We just sang it. And we sang it with conviction. And we sang it because we believed it. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And I speak over you today that the chain of fear is being broken off of you now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lay aside that spirit of fear. You have nothing to fear, because God Almighty is your source and your strength and your power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Satan will try to distract you. Distractions is one of the things that gets your eyes off of what God is wanting to do in your life. If he can get you to take your eyes off the Lord and begin to look at other little squabbles, if he can get you caught up in the drama, if he can get you looking at the side notes and not really paying attention to what's the main thing, when he can do that and he gets your eyes in a different direction and off of God, then your ability to produce for the kingdom is greatly diminished. But I'm telling you, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you'll understand that those are simply distractions, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. We got to keep the important thing on the front burner. The rest of that stuff you can do without. I tell you, I'm at a point I want to run from drama. I just don't need it. Life is complicated enough. And these people that's always got drama around them, I love you, but I don't have time for you. You know, because I just don't need that. And I'm telling you, if you cast all your care upon the Lord, He'll take care of you, for He careth for you. You don't have to worry about somebody else feeling sorry for you. There's some people who don't want to be delivered. There's some people who don't want to be set free. They love the fact that they've got people's attention. All right, I'm preaching now. They love the fact that everybody is focused on them and they forgetting about themselves now, and all of the attention is on them and they love it all. My sister that just went home to be with the Lord this past Thursday morning, she was the kind, she always felt like she had to buy your friendship. You know, she had to go the extra mile. She had to do everything she needed to do to make sure, because she didn't think that she deserved your friendship. And you know, she at one time in her life had was with someone, was married to someone, and they just lay up there on the sofa, you know, and she'd bring them everything they wanted, just handing it to them. And he loved it. Well, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? I told her, I said, you better woman than I would, because, you know, when somebody's able to get up and get it, then get up and get it. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. But there are some people who love that attention, and they'll have just enough drama in their life that the whole conversation revolves around them most of the time. I want to tell you, those kind of people, you just need to cut off out of your life. There are just some people that's going to drag you down and pull you down and keep you from being free to be what God has called you to be. And I'm telling you right now, it's time for all of us to grow up and be what God has called us to be in the name of Jesus. Give God praise and glory in His house today. Hallelujah. When this word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, things were not moving as quickly as he thought they should. They had run into some problems building the temple, and things had slowed down. The people had got discouraged. Many of them had stopped working and had gone back home and started doing their own stuff. And here is Zerubbabel. The Lord has called the man to rebuild the temple, and he has nobody with him who is willing to sacrifice themselves to build the temple. And he is really down and discouraged and felt so defeated. You ever been there? There's probably not a person in here who hasn't been there, and you understand those feelings. But the word of the Lord came to him and said, Zerubbabel, I've called you to do this. And he said, it's going to be done, but it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he said, who art thou? And the angel said, just for you to understand better what I'm saying, when you get into the middle of this thing, if there's a mountain in front of you, don't you even worry about that. Amen. I love that. Look at that scripture. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who you think you are, trying to keep the man of God from doing what God has called him to do? Who do you think you are? Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you are called of God, when you're anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost, mountains can come in front of you, and they may look to be so impossible that you can never get beyond them. But God said that mountain is nothing, because it's not by your might and it's not by your power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord, and that mountain is nothing compared to my power. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Well, let me finish that verse. Look what it said. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. What's a plain? Just a flat place. A mountain's nothing. What's a mountain? That's nothing. When Zerubbabel finishes with you, you won't be a mountain anymore. You'll just be a flat plain. Perfect place to build a temple if I need to. Just a perfect place, flat, beautiful place. Look what he said. He said, thou shalt be a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof. You know what the headstone is? It's called the cornerstone in some places. If you go to Israel, you see a lot of doorways with the arch. And they're built with the arch without any kind of mortar mix at all. It's just rocks stacked together that makes an arch. And the most important rock of all is the one in the top of the arch, in the very middle. That's what holds it all together. You can pull that one cornerstone, that headstone, you pull it off, the whole arch falls. Ooh, glory. He's saying that mountain thought he was going to stop it. But the mountain didn't do a thing in the world except give him the headstone that he needed to get the work done. Whew. Glory to God. Amen. When the devil thinks he has defeated you, when he thinks he has knocked you down for the last time, when you think your feelings have been hurt one time too many, when you think you're just sick of it all, one more time, and there's no way to go anywhere else. It's a big mountain in front of you, and you can't worship because that mountain is right in front of you. That mountain might be your family. That mountain might be your job. That mountain might be fear. That mountain might be discouragement, might be distractions. It can be a lot of things. But you don't have to let that mountain be what kills your whole dream. You can let that mountain be what gives you the pivotal piece that you need to get the job done for the kingdom of God. Glory to God forever. Woo! That mountain will never stop you. If you're the man of God, if you're the servant of the Lord. I want to read it from the New King James. Zechariah 4:7 says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and you shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." I love that. He said every time you come to a mountain, and you don't know what to do with it, you just yell out, "Grace! Grace!" Hallelujah. When it becomes so difficult, you think you can't go one step further, you just rear back and yell, "Grace! Grace!" And that mountain will not be a mountain anymore. It will become a flat plain for you to do the work and the will of God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. He said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it." Glory to God. "Then you will know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." He said, "I just want you to understand what's going on. When you think that it's beyond hope, when you think that it's all over, when you think you can't go a step further, you just stand in the presence of God and you yell, "Grace, grace, grace, grace." Hallelujah. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. You've got God's favor. You don't deserve it. You did not earn it, but it's God's favor. And that mountain that otherwise would have stopped you and destroyed you, that mountain becomes the stepping stone and it yields to you the capstone of your building for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There's a spirit of discouragement in the church today. There's a spirit of depression that is on our society today. But I'm speaking over to you today, joy of the Lord. And I'm yelling, "Joy, joy, joy." I'm yelling, "Grace, grace, grace to the power of God." Hallelujah. There's probably not a person in this building today that you haven't faced days of depression when you felt like you could not take another step that everything that could happen to you has already happened to you, and it is just coming down on your head, and you didn't know what to do, and it's like living under a big dark cloud. And you wonder what to do and where to go. I hear it again. Grace. 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 Because when you move out from under that cloud, the sun is shining bright. And I want to tell you today, you've been beat down and put down, and people have talked about you, and people have done you wrong, and people have turned their back on you. People you never thought in 1,000 years would have turned their back on you have done it. And then they've stood off to the side and acted as if they never cared. I want to tell you, when those mountains of friendship, when those mountains of fear and anger and frustration and hatred and all of that stuff tries to come into your life, you stand back and you yell grace and grace and grace. I've got the favor of God. I've got the unmerited favor of God in my life. And I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to die in poverty. I'm not going to die in sickness. I'm going to go home to be with the Lord because of grace. 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 Glory to God. Grace. Grace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that the Spirit of grace is alive and well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For who, he said, hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. He said, I want you to know, Zerubbabel is the one that started this temple, and Zerubbabel will be the one to finish this temple. He said, you just look at him. If you look hard enough, you'll see the plumb line in his hand. Not in somebody else's hand, in his hand. He started it. He's going to finish it. And he said, and the seven eyes of God, seven stands for completion. The seven eyes of God are running to and fro across the whole earth. I'm telling you, you cannot despise the day of small things. Small things make big things. Small things create within you a desire for bigger things. I'm telling you, God is alive. God is in the business today. And if you're discouraged or if you're disappointed, it's because you need to understand then that you haven't given it all to Him. So many times we say, Lord, well, I've just fought this as long as I can fight it. I'm going to give it to you. And before we get out of the church, we already got our hand on it again. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Hallelujah. But so many times we spend our times just worrying and wondering about things like that. I'm telling you, God will prove Himself to you if you let Him do it. God's called you. There's a call of salvation out there for every human being on the face of this earth. God loves everybody. Can I say that again? God loves everybody. Now, God doesn't always love the things we do, but He loves us. And we need to understand that. No one person is any better than any other person. It doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't even matter what you look like. God loves you just as much as He loves anybody else in the whole wide world. We need to settle that to start with. And we need to understand that everything that Satan tries to bring into your life to hinder you and make you fail, all you need to do is back up and look at it and just begin to yell, grace, grace. When your young'uns start fussing on the way home from church today, rear back and say grace. Back in Bible college, I went to a Bible college back in the day when the men and the girls and the boys were not allowed to talk to each other. I know that really blows people's minds now, that something like that could actually be a policy at school. We weren't allowed to talk to each other. But we would be called on for prayer. And there are probably more marriages came out of that college per capita than any other college probably anywhere. You couldn't talk, but that didn't keep you from looking at one another. One of them old boys, the president called on him to pray one morning. He liked a girl named Grace. So that was his prayer, "Lord, give me grace today." So when the mountains of your life get to the place and it seems as if you can't go another step farther, stand back a step and just yell out grace. Grace. When sickness attacks your body, "I am the favored of God." So grace. Unmerited favor. Grace. Grace, grace to every mountain. And out of that mountain will come the cornerstone of who you are. I declare that God is real today. I declare that He is still in the business of performing miracles. The only reason we don't have miracles is because we don't believe for them. But He is still the God of miracles today. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. I praise His name. I thank Him for what He's done, and I thank Him for what He's doing. I wonder how many people do we have in this place today. You're facing mountains in your life, and you don't know which way to turn, or you don't know what to do. And you're at the place you just need God to do a miracle for you. But Lord, what can I do about it? Well, He said, it's not by your might or not by your power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Just yell grace. Just yell grace. Grace. Let God have it. Grace. Hallelujah. I wonder how many in here would like to join me at this altar and say, "I'm facing some mighty big mountains. I feel like the Lord wants me to do some things, but there's a mountain of opposition in front of me and I just don't know what to do." Would you gather with me around the front and let's pray over these and let's declare grace to them in the name of the Lord. I believe that God wants to bring deliverance to our homes and to our families today. Grace. Grace. Grace, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come right on up. Come right on up. The Lord is here. And the Lord is here to minister to your needs today. Hallelujah. There are those that say you can't do it. There are those who don't believe you can do it. But God says, oh yes, you can. Because it's not by your power. And it's not by your strength. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. You got sickness in your body today. That sickness is a mountain to you. But you can yell grace. Grace, grace, hallelujah. And that mountain will be flattened out by the presence and by the power of God. Lord, I speak over this group of people today. I speak over those who have mountains in their life, who have mountains in their families, who have mountains in their finances, who have mountains, Lord, in their business. I speak over them today. Grace, 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 grace. Grace, Lord, we speak over these mountains and we declare that they will not stop us. We declare they will not hinder us, but we declare they will only be the way that we can do what God has called us to do. Glory to God, brother. I pray over you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray over you, my brother, and I speak the grace of God and the peace of God over you now. In Jesus' name, ma'am, I pray over you now. And I speak grace. Grace over your life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I speak grace over you now. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want every one of us in this congregation today, On the count of three, I want us to yell grace three times. Come on. One, two, three. Grace. 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 Hallelujah. So your mountains are destroyed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Bless all of you in the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Have a good afternoon.